Father, thank you this morning for our time of worship and just the feeling of your presence and the confidence, God, that we get when we come and stand before you and sing like we've done. Lord, it's not just moving, but it's uplifting. And I pray, Father, as we now move and look into your word for just a few minutes, that you would open our hearts and our minds to you, that we would be forever changed because we've not heard a sermon, but we've heard the very voice of God in our hearts. Help us to be changed because of that. And God, I pray for the lost person that may be here this morning and uncertain of why they're here and what they're about to listen to and what that may mean to them. My prayer, my only prayer for them is that you would open their eyes to see you and what you have for them, what you want for them, the peace and the love and the relationship. God, for the rest of us, as we talk today about being obedient and following your will, no matter what the cost is, I think our worship has led us to this point now. It's a perfect introduction to this verse we're going to look at today. Just help us, Father, in our hearts, in the very core of our souls, to be examined. And we see what you see this morning in our lives and where we need to change and where maybe we need to be more obedient. Now, God, we're thankful for this time. We give this to you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5. One verse today is verse 33. If you've been with us over the last few weeks, really all the way going back to December, you may not have realized it, but we were kind of working through, it's not really a series. You know, sometimes I will do full-on series and we mark them and we talk about the sort of the big picture as we go through. But there are other times where maybe I'm not planning on a series, but God is. And so he kind of weaves a thread through these. And little did I realize back at the end of December how God was going to begin to unfold these. Well, here we are now in March, looking back on several weeks of these. And what we're discovering is that God is having us go back to really the basics. Some of the basic beliefs. We've talked about his promises. We're going to talk about his truth today, but we did that last week. But we're going to talk more in the idea of how we apply that truth today in walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, that's a command that we find all throughout Scripture. And Deuteronomy chapter 5 is an odd place to find it. But I want to visit that one today because we've not looked at that one from that perspective. But we've also talked about just different aspects of what God wants for us and what his desire. We even talked about peace and that peace that surpasses all understanding. We talked about oneness and unity that comes when God begins to be glorified and be the object of what we praise for, what we worship, and what we do. He becomes the object, and out of that, we now find unity. So here we are in Deuteronomy 5. Now, I will tell you that Deuteronomy chapter 5 is often one of those that is looked at on the way to chapter 6. Because it's chapter 6, verse 5, and you've probably heard a million sermons, if you come to church very much, on chapter 6, verse 5. That's one of the marquee statements in all of the Old Testament. In other words, it would have been the Shema, which was the recitation of everything that the Jews believed. Well, we're going to back up and look at the preceding statements to that. And today's really focuses on the idea of applying the law. Now, pause for a second. This is written by Moses. It's Deuteronomy. We looked at this several years ago. Deuteronomy really is written more for the idea of taking the law. Now, remember this. They were given the Ten Commandments in Exodus, given by God to Moses. Moses comes down, gets angry, tears the tablets up, and then God gives that law again. Then we come to the final month of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and now Moses is giving a series of three sermons. And what are the purpose of these sermons? To take the law and move it from religion to relationship. I mean, that's it. And so often in our lives, we need to take what we read and hear and understand in Scripture and now focus on it to be in our relationship. In other words, what do we do with those things and how do they impact? And that's what Moses is telling us today. And when we look at this, we'll start reading in just a moment. I'm going to read out of New American Standard Bible. But we're going to walk through this, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to look at three things to remember about walking in the way of the Lord. And it's one of those, I think, connections that for me really makes the whole Old Testament connect to the New Testament. Old Testament often talked about the law of God, the judgment of God, but it's so much more than that. It connects us to the relationship. Let's start reading verse 33, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Not going to make a lot of comment here because I think it stands on its own. We'll read this together. You shall walk in the way which the Lord your God has commanded you. Now, what are the commands? First, I said I wasn't going to make much comment, but you know I don't ever mean that. So what are the commands? It's the law. It's the Ten Commandments. But that's the structure of it, right? But now God begins to unfold that in commands in our lives. He may be commanding you to do something in your life right now. Maybe leaving a job or changing something in your home or deciding to get more serious about Him in this area of your life. That is a command that God has given you. But it stems from the structure of the law. That's what Moses means here. He goes on, that you may, so you have the sort of the command, right? And now you have what happens because you're obedient to that command. Look what he says, that you may live and that it may be well with you. Boy, you could park on that for a minute. And that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. Man, one of the greatest statements in all of the Old Testament, because it gives us a condition, and then what happens once we meet that condition? In other words, if we're going to do what it tells us, and that is follow the will that God has given us, the commands. And then the land, let's be clear on that. He's talking about the promised land. They're on the cusp of crossing the Jordan, and they're about to take occupation of what will be known as the promised land. Now, we're not about to cross the Jordan, at least not literally, but we are doing that in many ways on a daily basis, weekly basis. Whenever God gets a hold of our lives and begins to identify things that aren't where they need to be, we kind of figuratively, symbolically cross the Jordan, leaving the past behind us and going into where God wants us to be. Amen? We do that individually, we do that as a church, and sometimes we do that as a nation. Three things that we can remember about walking in the way of the Lord. We're just going to extract these from this verse. Let that guide us. Be as simple as that. Number one is this. It's pretty clear. We're commanded. So what does it mean? We are commanded to be obedient. It's not an option. If we are a child of God and we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are expected to follow His commands, to be obedient. So it's almost, and I hate to go this far down, but listen, when we're doing what God wants us to do, we shouldn't expect something in return from that, because that's what God has asked us to do that. I mean, it's almost, and this sort of is what's echoing in my mind right now, with everything going on in our world, we understand that there are times where people are doing their jobs, but yet they expect something more because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. We kind of live in a world where we're kind of feeling entitled about things. And so because I've done my job, I'm now kind of expecting people to recognize that and praise me, give me a trophy or prop me up or give me a bonus. You did your job. And so when it comes down to being obedient, you're doing your job. That's what God has told you to do. And if you do that, then you will prosper. Now, that's not a transaction. That's not something that God gifts you with necessarily. It's an outcome of you being obedient. Why is that? Because He's divine and perfect in His will. And what He has for you is far better than any of the other backup plans. And so when we're being obedient, we get the fruit of that because we're doing what God wants us to do, and He's uncovering, as he says this morning, the promised land for us. Does that make sense? So we do the obedience. We follow the law as God gives it to us and expect nothing in return, but yet we know that God blesses us through that. So we got to get out of our mind this idea that if I do this for you, God, then you'll do these three things for me. And it's almost like, and I've said this before, we look at God as some kind of divine Santa Claus where he brings us gifts all the time. When it comes down to, he has laid this life out for us and we're either going to follow it or we're not. If we don't follow it, we suffer the consequences of that. But if we do follow it, then he's going to give us what he has planned to give us. See, I think that's the key. It's almost like God has a blueprint for our lives. And when we mess up and are stupid and we're not obedient and we're not doing what God wants us to do, then we miss that blueprint and we get it off whack and then we wonder where God is and why things aren't happening the way we want them to. It's because we're not following his will. And so when we follow it, now we're beginning to follow those instructions, the blueprint. It's almost like what's going on down on the other end of our building. We're having our windows replaced on the bottom level this week. Now, there were no blueprints for that, right? But there was a plan made. The plan was carried out, and it's being carried out. And now things are working the way. And the byproduct of that is we have new windows pretty much throughout that whole area. There's still a few that haven't done. Listen, it's not something exceptional that's happened. It's what was planned that has happened. And while it got messy for a while, and it's still messy in some places in our building down there, but sometimes you got to go through mess before you begin to see the new things, right? Amen? I mean, isn't that what sort of typifies what's happening with the nation? They've gone through 40 years of mess. But yet here God is shining the light on the doorway to walk into the promised land and to put that behind them. The Jordan becomes symbolic for that, and that now becomes where they leave their past behind. Listen, we're commanded, no question about it, we're commanded. And we're not doing anything exceptional when we follow what God tells us to do. We're being obedient. That's what he's commanded us to do. And I would even say as believers, that's what he's programmed us to do. The problem is we let sin and disruption and distractions get in the way of that. Number two is this, not only do we need to remember that we're commanded. This one's a little hard. I'll be honest. I struggled with really how to word this. We can live a true life. I like short sort of points, you know that, and I typically don't like long points, but this is one that probably would have been better with a long point to describe. But what I mean here is this, and we find this in Scripture, we begin to discover true life when we're obedient. We begin to experience the fullness of what God has for us. We discover what life really is meant for you and what it's meant for me because we're following his plan. Go back to that blueprint. Got to set that in motion. And as we're being obedient, we now discover the depth and the trueness of what God wants for us and the greatness of that, the perfection of that. And so we begin to experience true life. Now, what I would say is this. Let's be careful here. Can someone who's not a believer experience true life? They can to some degree, but not in the way that God has framed it and authored it for them, right? I do think we have to come into a relationship with God. We have to now begin to follow him, be forgiven of our sins, and be following him before we begin to discover the fullness of what God has for us. Prior to that, as a lost person, we can pick and guess, but we're not in tune to the Father. We don't have a relationship with him. So we may just be following some structure, but we don't have that relationship guiding us. So we may be obedient by accident from time to time, but we have no concept of what that means if we don't know who Jesus is. And so because of that, we can't experience what God truly wants for us. I say true life, but the purpose and the meaning that he gives for us. I mean, some of the reasons for this is the fact that he gives you spiritual gifts. We don't really discover those until we've met Jesus. And then those spiritual gifts now become part of our passion and then part of what God's called us to do. All of us have something that God is calling us to do and to do for him. Outside of a relationship with him, it's virtually impossible to know those things. Now, I will say this. Sometimes the things that you're naturally talented at are often in flow with your spiritual gifts. We probably all have had those spiritual gifts tests. I know Brad's class went through that years ago. If you've never done that, then see me. I got a whole bunch of them that I can share with you, and you can take them and decide. And all it is a guide to help you kind of discover what those gifts God has given you. God has given us at least one as a believer, probably more than that. But what we find is they often are in sync with what we already have a natural desire to do. It's not that hard. It's not like often that God's going to take us completely out of our comfort zone. Like, listen, I don't have the gift of singing, never have. So God may give me the gift of leading worship, but that's going to be really way out of my comfort zone. He's going to have to change a lot of things in my life to get me to be able to do that, and he can do that. But while I'm trying to be funny, the reality is it's not often that God takes you too far out of what he wants you to do. You've already been being prepared for that. So when we look at this idea that we begin to discover true life, it's almost like, and I love this idea, but it's almost like the momentum begins. And when we're being obedient, it becomes easier to be obedient. And because we're being obedient, we're experiencing more of God. We're seeing more of the true life that he has for us. And now begin to see things that otherwise we wouldn't have been able to see. And that means the path that he has for you. And now this momentum sort of builds up. And now it just begins to kind of flow. I see that not just in individuals, but also in a church. Because it just now begins to kind of move. And I think to some degree, we're beginning to experience. We've done that at different times, but it's hard to be locked into that. But with today's worship, it was a reminder to me that that momentum is building in our church. Amen? We're coming to experience Jesus. We're spending time with one another. But there is something authentic about our worship right now that just is attracting. It's contagious. And so it's part of that momentum being built up. And so out of that, we now are beginning to experience, in some sense, true worship, because we're trying to get away from all of the distractions, come prepared for worship, not letting things get in the way of us worshiping God, and now sitting here and giving him praise. And then out of that, God begins to touch our hearts. It just sort of works. And you can't concoct this. You can't imitate that. Although there are some churches perhaps that do try, but we can't ever substitute a true working of the Spirit. And when that happens, there's a sense of excitement that comes on an individual as well as a church as we're talking about it. We're commanded to walk in the way of the Lord. We experience true life when we do that. Number three command is this, or number three thing to remember is this: we'll experience God's goodness. Now, several times over these last few weeks, I've gotten into kind of theology issues, and here's the one for this morning, goodness. Let's be careful. We don't mean goodness when we talk about God, about all good things happening that we think are good. Goodness in God's mind is essentially his actions and the fulfillment of his plan. Sometimes from a human perspective, that's not always defined as good, okay? But it's good for God because it's the carrying out of his plan, and while we in our sort of moment may not see it or understand it or even interpret it as good, it is still part of God's goodness because it's the action through his plan. So there are times I've just said, here's the children of Israel. Now, let's be clear. It was their sin and their inability to really put the faith behind their beliefs, right? They believed certain things, but they didn't really act on those things that kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. For God to get them ready for this moment. Here we are, about a month before they'll cross the Jordan. They have gone through despair. They've gone through famine. They've gone through blessings. They've gone through wars and attacks. They've gone through deaths. In fact, the entire generation that left Egypt has now passed, except for Moses and a few hand-picked leaders. They're all gone. These are all people who have never known anything other than the despair of traveling with tents through the wilderness without a home. So there's sometimes difficulties that take place before we're ready to really begin to see and receive and really expect God's blessings in our lives. And so as we think about this, sometimes the goodness, now probably if you went back in that time, some 4,000 years ago, and asked the average Israelite as they're traveling, do you see anything good through this? And they're going to say, no. But yet God's goodness is shining through. He's teaching them the realness of his relationship. They have the structure of the law, but as we discover in this verse this morning, we find that God now is wanting to put relationship to that law. There's something more than just rules. There's a relationship. And now there's that desire to be obedient, not because we're afraid what will happen to us if we're not obedient, but because we want to please God, because we're learning to love Him every more and every day. And so goodness, from God's standpoint, we have to get it out of our mind that it's always something that we define as good. It's not. Sometimes, through the difficulty, struggles, the storms, the tribulation, God's goodness is webbed through that. Children of Israel's case in point, they were not ready for the promised land if they had gone the 2 weeks after they left, which is about the length of time it would have taken them if sin had not entered in. And so they would have been in the promised land all these 40 years, but they weren't, primarily because they weren't ready. So sometimes, through the difficult times, God's goodness is shining through that to help us get ready for what He has for us on the other side. Listen, I think for me, that's sort of the capstone of what we find when we're talking about this idea that we may live and that we may begin to discover the truth of our life and we'll walk in the way in which the Lord has commanded us, is that we now begin to see that even in the storms of our lives, God is still at work. His goodness is shining through. And I see that in my life. You probably see that in your life. We've seen that in the history of this church at times. But God is still at work. And out of that, because we're obedient, we now begin to experience the wisdom of what it means to walk with Him and to live life with Him and to be guided by Him. Listen, not a long sermon this morning, but it is one that I think when we look at, it kind of fits in with where we were. Last week we talked about what truth is. This week we talked about really how to live out that truth. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the blessing of Your Word. And thank You, God, for the opportunity that we have to go back into Old Testament texts like this and to see really the promise of the Messiah in this. Although I understand they're getting ready to go into the promised land and maybe Moses didn't fully grasp what God was telling him to write down, but it means so much to us today as we can see it through the life of Jesus and the knowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. So, Father, we come to that, and I pray for us as believers. We've talked about what truth is. Today, we've talked about being obedient in that truth and why we should do that. So, Father, I pray that there may be some things in our life that we're struggling with right now, things that we don't want to give over to You, things that we know we're not being obedient in, but we're selfishly holding on to those things because we're really afraid. We're afraid of giving those things up. I pray this morning for that believer, that they would begin to not just see Your goodness in the midst of that struggle, but they would see that You've commanded us to give those things over, to be obedient, not just in a few things, but in all things. And in our lives, we're constantly doing that. I mean, I don't know that we're ever doing that and we're done, because new things come in our life and we have to give those over to You. So maybe that's where some of us are this morning. We're struggling with that. So I pray, Father, that You would convict that person through the work of the Holy Spirit to now begin to let You settle that, and they stop trying to settle it themselves, to trust You and to find Your goodness in the midst of that. Now, Father, I return and talk to that lost person this morning. We prayed their eyes would be open, and that can only happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing that I've said, nothing in our worship necessarily can do that. It always has to be through the Holy Spirit. And so I pray, Father, if they're here or if they're at home listening to this or watching this on our live stream and You've sort of grabbed hold of their heart and their eyes now are open to who Jesus is, let me just say this very quickly. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to You, Father, but through Him. He's the doorway. And so as we begin to talk about the goodness and the relationship and being obedient, all of that is really dependent on the fact that we've accepted Christ. That's the first step. And so I pray for that lost person. We're going to go into a time of commitment. And I'm going to ask them to come down and share that with me. And then we'll get them connected with somebody who can go deeper with them. It may be me or somebody else, but to go deeper with them in that. If they're at home or listening to this on our podcast, then I would encourage them to reach out to somebody that they know is a believer or call our church office, and we'll get them connected so that they can begin to learn what it means to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, for the rest of us, there may be some here who've already made that decision but just never have made that public. And maybe today's the day to do that. There may be believers that need to come and pray at the altar about something that is a distraction in our life, or maybe a distraction in somebody else's life. And we need to pray about that and how we can be used as a tool to intercede in that. Now, Father, we give this time of commitment to you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.